From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Larry Richards. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, tremendous Thursday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. We are helping you fulfill your baptismal responsibility to be an evangelist as we talk the new evangelization on Open Line Thursday. If you've got a question for Father Larry, the number is 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. And we will put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. Or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall, producing the program. Your call screener is Ryan Penny. And Jeff Burson, magnificent person, back from his sojourning of the Western United States. He was helping his son, who's in the Navy, move to your little slice of heaven on earth, Father Larry.
Oh, really?
San Diego.
I was supposed to go there next week, but if we go there, we have to be quarantined for 2 weeks when we come back in Pennsylvania. So I says, I'm not doing that again. Ain't going to happen.
Sounds like a good reason to stay there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I have to stay. But it's like, but California, like right now, is even real hard with this coronavirus stuff.
Yeah. So
I don't even go ahead.
Yeah, but at any rate,
anyway,
we're glad to have Jeffrey back.
So we're so glad.
If you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program.
Never know.
How are you in beautiful Erie, Pennsylvania? This is Father Father Larry Richards, by the way, who's the host.
It's Father Larry. I'm here, and I'm hot. I had to take two trees down at my house yesterday. Well, I did, and I paid someone to come in and take two humongous trees down.
Yeah, I got about two of those trees worth of boxes piled all over my house now. So
I'm sure with all those trying to move in.
Well, you know, listen, I'll tell you something. When you take one big house and you sell it, and then you take another big house and you sell it, and you try to move all that stuff into a house that's not as big as either one of the other two, it creates a problem.
No.
So we're gonna have a we are going to be spiritual titans by the time this is over with. The lessons we're learning in detachment are amazing. And
there you go. You give them all to your kids. You say, here, we want to give this to you before we die. Thank you. Take it.
And they look at it and say, what?
I don't want any.
I've got a question here from Harrison, and he says, Protestants always ask about salvation. What is a quick way to explain the Catholic understanding of salvation?
Salvation is when you accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. So we do that through baptism traditionally because Jesus, remember in John 3:5, it says, you know, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. And then Nicodemus asked explicitly, what does it mean to be born again? And he doesn't say, accept me as your Lord and Savior. He does say, you need to be born of water and the Spirit, and that's what happens at baptism. Now, we need to receive that. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he redeemed everybody. Salvation is when you accept that for you, because even though he redeemed everybody, you have to accept that gift. It's a pure gift of God, but you accept that through baptism. You accept that by accepting Jesus, but you got to do both.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free telephone number. Toll-free. Couple lines open at 833-288-3986. I know you come running every time you hear free.
I know. You got it.
Especially
now.
Yeah, Anthony wants to know, does the church have any teaching against being an organ donor after death?
No, I'm an organ donor. I think I am. Every time, every 4 years, they ask us if we want to do that, and when we get our licenses redone. And so to give life to someone else is a great thing. You can do it.
Yeah, it's. I think I'm an organ donor as well. There's been some, I've heard some, and I can't remember the specifics, so I somewhat hesitate to comment, but our producer Michael McCall says it's better than being an organ donor before death. Although that's possible.
I know people have done it.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's exactly right.
My staff did it for her father. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, but some things you need to look out for and be careful of when you're doing that. And I can't think of what they are, but for any question like this, always a good resource is the National Catholic Bioethics Center.
There you go.
You just Google Father Tad Poholchek or the National Catholic Bioethics Center. I don't know which one is easier. Here's Greg, and you know, I think part of the premise of his question needs a little work here, but he asks, how do you get a Protestant to accept your words when they are saying the same thing as you but not admitting it?
Yeah. I don't know. I've been trying to get Jack to accept my words after I've all these years, but he still doesn't admit it. So the reality, and he's not even a Protestant, you know, so sometimes you just sit there and say, so what you're saying is, and you repeat back to him what he just said. And sometimes they're like, did I really just say that? And you go, yep, sounds like you agree with me, you know. So, but again, sometimes, now the whole point of this is not to argue and try to win points. The whole point is to share the truth of the gospel, and you just pray for people, because you're not going to convert anyone. I'm not going to convert anybody. Jack isn't going to convert anybody.
And that's
what
I meant by the premise of the question is a little flawed.
Sure, God's the one who does this. And so we can plant seeds, but then after you walk away, just Lord, bless him and help him to know the fullness of truth. That's all. God can do the rest. So, but you got to remember, it's all the Holy Spirit, and it's just us being used by him.
Elizabeth wants to know ways we can evangelize our Catholic children.
The best way, I can tell you, is that if you have an experience of God and you share with them your experience of God, much more than experience them, the rules of the church, because sometimes we teach these are the rules, you know, like again, I've said 100 million times on air and off air when I'm doing conferences and that. The theological principle is sound. Before God gave the Ten Commandments, he set his people free from their slavery. We often give the people the Ten Commandments who have never been experienced being set free by the love of Jesus Christ. That's why it doesn't work. That's why people keep falling into sin. They keep, because they've never experienced the love of God. They've never experienced that God is real, because we hit them with the rules and you'll do this or you'll go to hell. Okay. And so, like, I used to tell my prep kids that all the time, and they would say, well, all my friends are going to be there anyway. And I just say, but you won't be able to see them. I'm just telling you. Now, we can't scare people into the faith, and I'm sure that's not what you're doing as a great mother, but you need to share with them your experience. So, you know, again, one of the best ways to do that is to share with them what Jesus Christ has done for you, how he's loved you, how you've experienced him in the Eucharist, how you've experienced him in confession, and share with them your experience and your relationship with God. I just buried at my parish today a great woman. She was 81 years old. And she, like my, when I got up to preach about her, I says, Kathy did not just know about Jesus. She knew Jesus Christ. And I said, and that is one of the greatest gifts that she could give you, her children, is here is this woman who knew Jesus and wanted to share with you the reality of the person she knew. Not just the rules of the church, not just about Jesus, but she shared by the way she lived her life Jesus Christ. And we got to do the same thing.
You know, a lot of people, especially parents, I think, feel on some level that their past mistakes or their lack of formation disqualifies them from saying anything to their kids.
And that's the thing, that because of God, you saved, God saved you by grace, that all the more, you see what God did for me? He shouldn't have done it for me, but that's where we get this grace thing. Again, I love to go back to, I was just reading about St. Augustine again the other day, and he was a mess, and yet God took that mess of a man and made him one of our greatest saints. So it doesn't matter where you've been, it matters where you are and where you're going.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. It's Open Line Thursday, talking the new evangelization with Father Larry Richards.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Again, 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. Be sure to check out Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie tomorrow, noon Eastern time. On Friday, prior to the Feast of the Assumption on Saturday, they're going to talk about honoring Mary. So queue very up nice. Your phone calls for Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie tomorrow, noon Eastern time, right here on EWTN Radio.
Do it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number.
It's toll-free.
Darlene writes in, my sister recently headed toward the Lutheran Church, and I wanted to bring her back to the Catholic Church. How can I tell her that the Lutheran Church is not the same as the Catholic Church?
Well, the best thing I always do is let's go objectively, because again, people go to, oh, these people love Jesus, and of course they love Jesus, and they might feel really good over there, and you might think, you know, they have communion, and they believe in consubstantiation, not transubstantiation. But what I always do is, when it comes to Protestant, my brothers and sisters, is say, let's look at the basic difference. And then I go back, and I say, first of all, is Catholics believe man is basically good. Protestants believe man is basically evil. If given a choice between good and evil, Protestants will choose, they say, that because of original sin, we'll always choose evil. That's why we sin. Catholics always say, if given a choice between good and evil, we'll always choose good. St. Thomas Aquinas explained that and went on, even if it's an apparent good. So the first thing I ask them, do you believe man is basically good or basically evil? And that's the first thing. Then I say, and so how are we saved? Are we saved by what Jesus Christ did on us on the cross, and we accept that and we live that through faith and works? Or it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can kill somebody and say, but Jesus loves me and he's my Lord and Savior, so no matter what I do, I am saved. And I go, that's another big difference. A third big difference is that Catholics believe that you need, when it comes to the scripture, that it's sola scriptura. Protestants believe, and Catholics believe, you not only need the Bible, but you need tradition. Why? Because tradition inspires the Bible, and it helps us to know what the early church was teaching. So do you believe that it's just the Bible, which is a translation of a translation of a translation of the Aramaic that Jesus spoke, that was later put into Greek, which was later put into the Latin, which is now put into the English? Do you just believe that you just need that, or do you believe you need a tradition with that? Do you believe that we need a Holy Father to lead us and guide us and help us to keep true to the faith, you know, to guard the positive faith? Or does it not matter that everybody can believe what they believe? And if that's true, then truth is not truth. Objectively, truth is a subject reality, subjective, whatever you all believe. And there's a bunch of stuff like that. So I always ask people, let's just talk about the objective reality differences between Catholics and Protestants, and then make a decision over truth, not over feeling.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. Two open phone lines at 833-288-3986. We head first today to Vancouver, British Columbia. Lynn is in Vancouver listening at EWTN.com. And Lynn, your Vancouver Canucks beat my St. Louis Blues last night, but I still love you.
Hello, Lynn.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Father. Hey, I just had an interesting Reformed Baptist show up at my door selling some CDs. And I just asked why he was earning money, and he said for theology. And I said, oh, I'm a Catholic. Well, that obviously opened up a big Pandora's box. He said, you mentioned sola scriptura. He threw Romans 1 at me, and he said, we're saved by faith alone. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure that faith and tradition, works, good works.
Faith and works. Matthew 25. Yeah, you could have thrown right back at him.
I didn't know that. Okay, I'm writing this down. And not that I'll probably ever hear from him, because
no.
How the conversation ended was, he says, so you believe the Pope is fallible? And I said, in matters of faith and morals, absolutely. But he says, the Pope now, he promotes abortion and same-sex.
Oh, jeez.
He doesn't promote it.
Not even close.
No, and I said, and do you honestly think that's changed in our church? Because it hasn't.
Well, Catholic Church is the most pro-life church that exists.
Exactly.
Period.
And then, but he didn't, then he kind of snickered because he thought maybe I was just making that up. But I don't know.
Yeah,
at the very end of the conversation, what made me end it was he said, do you believe that Jesus is, when you have the mass, that you are celebrating the crucifixion of Jesus? And I didn't know how to answer that. And then he says, because your mass is blasphemous.
Yeah, well, then Jesus, you should have just said, then Jesus Christ is a liar, because he said, this is my body, this is my blood, and then he said, do this. And then in the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles, the four things they dedicated themselves in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is they dedicated themselves to the teaching of the apostles, not the Bible, as a matter of fact, the teaching of the apostles, the communal life, the breaking of the bread, which was Mass, and the prayers. And again, it goes on and on and on. So what they do is they learn a few things to argue, and you go like, I don't know the answer to that. And you should have, the best thing to do, he won't come back and say, let me look that up. Why don't you come back and I'll talk to you later about those things. But he won't, because in his mind, he's 100% right. See, the whole point of all this is we all are 100% right, right? So I'm 100% right. The church is 100% right. The Baptists are 100% right. The Buddhists are 100% right. The Muslims are 100% right. And everybody else is wrong. And there's no converting people in our arguments. The only thing we can do is, if we go to the beginning of the thing today, is the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts our hearts about what is true. And so the best thing I would do if I were you is to pray for God to bring truth to his heart. And that's all. You know, because I'm sure he's not praying for you. I'm sure he's praying and thinking, oh, you're going to be damned because you're an idol worshiper. Instead of like, well, if that woman, I wish she would just come to know Jesus. Lord bless her. But that's what we got to be doing. When we go and start thinking everybody else is going to hell because of their beliefs, that's when we don't have the heart of Jesus. Jesus Christ left heaven to save us. So we need to do everything to save them. So, but you're 100% right, but pray for him that he comes with the fullness of the truth.
God bless you, Lynn. Thanks so much for that phone call. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free telephone number. 833-288-3986. Next stop, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Suzanne is a first-time caller listening on Ave Maria Radio. Suzanne, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Father Larry. Thank you.
Hello, Suzanne. Yeah, sure.
The reason that I am calling is that during the pandemic, as the churches have been closed, we as a family have been participating in Mass via you on YouTube. I do daily Mass with you, and as a family on Sunday, we do YouTube Mass. Before the pandemic, it was like pulling teeth to get my husband to go to Mass with us as a family. Since the pandemic, he thoroughly enjoys doing Mass via YouTube with you. He says, I finally can understand Mass. And now that our churches have opened back up, I'm having a problem getting him to return to Mass with us as a family. We'll come home. He'll be watching. Like, we go to Mass at 9:30. Obviously, your Mass is at 11, but obviously, we're Central Time, we're a little different. So when we come home for Mass at our home parish, he's in front of the TV still participating in Mass with you. So he's still going to Mass. just via YouTube with you, and he doesn't want to come back because he said, like I said, he sure. finally understands Mass with you. So my question is, do you have any suggestions maybe as to what I could do to bring him back, or are you at least
yes, of course. First of all, he.
Well, wait a minute, Suzanne. What's your husband's first name?
Joshua.
Okay,
there you
talk
go.
To Joshua, Father Larry, and Suzanne can have him listen to the podcast.
Well, first of all, we're all still under the dispensation. So, again, people mightn't be coming. But, Joshua, you need to go and receive the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Because if you're just listening to me online, it's just like listening to a Protestant group. So the most important thing any of us do is receive Jesus in the Eucharist. So that's what I'd hope if I'm keeping someone away from the faith or away from the Eucharist instead of drawing someone to the Eucharist, that would break my miserable heart. So you do that. But you're up in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee has an unbelievable men's movement up there, men of Christ. And I've spoken up there 3 times, and so pray for your husband to get one of these men up there that are so on fire in the faith, and to really bring him into that fullness. And again, though, let's say that he doesn't find anything in your parish that he likes. Well, go look at another place. You know, you're not limited just to that place where you are. You can go to a place and say, well, let's find a place where you're going to feel comfortable. You know, so there's a bunch of options there. But again, if he's listening to me, then hopefully more than anything, he's going to want to go to the Eucharist.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Suzanne. Thank you so much for that phone call. We'll keep you in our prayers. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Kathy in Butler, Missouri, a first-time caller listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kathy.
Thank you very much.
What's up? Thank you.
Well, my daughter has been battling colon cancer for 4 years, and chemo's no longer working, and they've done radiation, which we knew going into this that there wasn't going to be a cure. But I've been praying for a miracle.
Sure.
And I was wondering if that was being selfish, because there's other people that need it, you know, more than she does. Maybe.
Well, again, you're praying for your daughter. That's what mothers do. You know, that's so. Again, you could even put her in our Blessed Mother's arms and say, you know, one of my favorite and most powerful prayers is the Mini Novena by Mother Teresa Calcutta, and it's just 10 memorares. And you know what the memorare? Remember Most Gracious Virgin Mary that never was it known. And so I've said this all the time, where you do 9 for novenas, 9 prayers, or 9 days, or 9 weeks, whatever. But you say 9 in petition, asking God through Our Lady to bring her to healing. And then you say number 10 in thanksgiving. You know, but always you say that, you can do that, you can count on that. But then you always have to know that you want to surrender to God's will. Because, again, no matter what, again, like I said today with the funeral of this wonderful woman, earth is not our home. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? But nobody wants to die to get there. Now, we're all like that because we're afraid of the thing. But let me tell you, heaven is the place where we were created for. This is what we are created for. So even after everything, you say those prayers and you can ask for a miracle and God can provide that miracle. But even if he doesn't, heaven is what we were created for. And once we're on the other side, when we look back, we're going to think, why did we want to stay on earth so long? But again, no, but you can pray that. Try that 10 memorares, that mini novena, put her in our Blessed Mother's arms, and you can pray and believe in a miracle.
God bless you, Kathy. Thank you so much for that phone call today. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. A couple of open phone lines and plenty of time for your calls at 833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Thursday, talking the new evangelization with Father Larry Richards.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Father Mitch wrote a book. I know that shocked
you. Oh, you're kidding. Surprise.
No, but
What is it now on now?
Well, but in all seriousness, it's a very important book because there are a lot of people, and you as a pastor know this, you know, who have been scandalized in one way or another by some of the activities that have gone on in the church in recent decades. Mm-hmm. And Father Mitch has written this new book called Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church. He takes you through the parables to a large degree, Jesus' own words reassure people. The solution, he says, lies in the power of Jesus' death and resurrection and the apostles' response to the risen Lord. So Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church. It's available now at EWTNRC.com by Catholic Shop, EWTN.com. We head next to Enfield, Connecticut. Richard is in the great state of Connecticut, a first-time caller watching us on YouTube. Richard, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, Father. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you? Okay, what's up?
So I was watching. I watch you every morning.
Poor guy.
Every day. I watch your masses. Oh, Father, I love you. You're amazing.
Thank you. Many of the people love me. People hate my guts too. So it's all depends on your perspective. You know. So anyway, what's up?
So, after the readings, you were saying on how we need to give forgiveness, forgive those who have trespassed against us and whatnot. You know,
sure.
Here's
we'll
my
damned.
Issue: is that right now, my brother has done a lot of things to me and to my mm-hmm. family that has mm-hmm. hurt us very badly.
Sure.
I can't find it into our hearts to forgive him.
Well, forgiveness isn't like bringing him back into your life and letting him continue to hurt you. Forgiveness, like if you don't forgive somebody, not only can you be damned forever, but you can also, it's like drinking poison and hoping someone else, the other person, dies. Unforgiveness destroys your insides like a cancer. And that's why Jesus said you must forgive. And the best way to do that is, again, think about how many times you've hurt Jesus Christ. Every time you committed a mortal sin, you not only kill Jesus, but you spit on the cross. And yet you go before God the Father and you ask him to forgive you, and he does. Now he says, I want you to learn to do the same. So it's an act of the will. It doesn't mean that they can continue to hurt you or continue all that stuff. None of that means it. What it is something simple. Like I said this morning, Jesus, I forgive them now, and I ask you to forgive them. And see, once that you do that, then you are set free, because if not, he still hurts you. He still has power over you. And so that's what I'm talking about. And again, it's not my thing. It's Jesus who said this today, that we must do that. Or think about what he said at the end of the gospel. My heavenly Father will treat you in just the same way if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. It was explicitly your brother from your heart. So again, I understand, trust me, I've been hurt lots throughout my life. And the hardest thing I think we do as Christians is to forgive. And the only way we can do that is with the grace of God. Remember, as Jesus was dying on the cross and people were spitting on him and yelling, crucify him, and wanting to kill him, the first words out of his mouth was, Father, forgive them. You know, and so that's what mercy is. So I completely understand you, but you need to do it. Just an act of the will. Jesus, I forgive them. I ask you to forgive them. But that doesn't mean you keep letting this person hurt you. Does that help?
Okay. That does help. It helps.
There
a lot.
You go.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad. Thanks for calling us. God bless you.
God bless, Rich. We appreciate that phone call. Plenty of time for your calls and a couple of open lines at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Patricia in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Patricia, welcome to the program.
Hello, Patricia.
Thank you. My question is, as Catholics, do we believe that somebody can just love God and love their neighbor, and they can get into heaven like they're Jewish or Muslim or something. They don't believe Jesus is God. Can they still make it to heaven if they're a good person?
If they do make it to heaven, it's because of what Jesus Christ did for them. There's no way to get to heaven except through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He's the one, and he is the way to heaven. There is no other way. But the Catechism, but also Vatican II, teaches explicitly that a Muslim, a Jewish, even an atheist, who's an atheist through no fault of his own, have hope of eternal life. So all we can say is that all people have hope of eternal life. But if they get it, it'll be because of what Jesus Christ did for them. Does that help?
Yeah, they don't have to believe Jesus is God, though.
Well, they should, but if they don't, because, you know, for whatever reason, they've never been experienced, a person like Gandhi never became a Christian because he said he never met one, you know, and that was a condemnation of the church for all of us that we weren't showing Christ. But so for him, like he says, I'm not ever going to become one because I've never really met one who loves the way Christ loves. And that's the way Jesus said, all people know you're my disciples because you love one another. If we really, 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 really loved each other, I think everybody in the world would be Christian, but we don't, you know, and that's a problem. So again, they'll be saved through Jesus, but God will judge them by their heart. Okay? They do have hope of eternal life.
You're welcome, Patricia. Thanks so much for the call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Grab one of these open phone lines at 833-288-3986. James says, my dad was religious and abused me heavily in the name of God when I was a kid. I cannot comprehend how a God could allow that to happen. I want to believe, but this is a hard thing for me to get past.
Absolutely, positively. There are many, many people that have been hurt in God's name, and so people truly struggle with that. And so the best thing I can tell you is that you got to come to know your God as Father. You know, again, when I do baptisms, I do it kiddingly, and I say, we all know that Joe here is not the father of this child. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, call no man father, and he sure didn't mean priests. He meant that all of us are called. I mean, God, the true father of all of us is Almighty God. So for you, what I'd encourage you is you need to spend time, get to know God as Father. And the best place to do that is to start in Mark chapter 1, verse 11 of the Bible. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And when you go to Mark chapter 1, verse 11, it begins with, as you are my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. This is where it all began with Jesus, and where it all must begin with you. That you have to come to know God as your beloved Father, and that he does sit there and say everything to you, that you are my beloved. And then he will sit there and replace the father on this earth that abused you with a true father in heaven, a good, good father.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free telephone number, 833-288-3986. Toby wants to know, what should my daily prayer life look like as a Catholic layman?
To me, what I always ask to be is, first of all, that we spend time with his holy word, because it's the word of God is the most important thing we can learn. So we make sure that we're there so we can listen to God. Now, again, the way I do my prayer every day is I'm up at 3:55. First thing I do is I go to the holy word of God. I pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal to me his word. And then I open up, so I listen to God before I listen to the world, the flesh, or the devil every day. And then I go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and then I do the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because I'm in great need of mercy, and I do it for other people who are also in need of his mercy. And then I do the rosary, because Our Lady asks us to pray the rosary. You know, and so I do that so I can do that. And then I spend time with the breviary, and then I have silence. For you, you can do one of those things. You can spend time with the scripture. You can say the rosary, which is a phenomenal prayer, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which is less than 5 minutes. But no matter what you do, I'd encourage you, you got to be still. Like, for instance, as I just said to the question right before this, I think that where it begins for every man and every woman is in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, because that's where it began with Jesus. And you got to come to experience that you are loved by the Father, because now you respond to God in love and not in fear. And the reason I say that's important is because if the only reason you follow God is so you don't go to hell, well, then who truly do you love? Is it God or is it yourself? And the greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. So the best way to love God is to know that you're loved by him, and you want to respond in that. So I think that's where every man and woman should start, is coming to know the love of God in your own life. And that's going to take silence, and it's going to take spending time with that Word so God can speak to you. Because again, when you go to the Holy Word of God, it's not just a history book or you're reading some book. It's God himself speaking to your heart if you pray the Holy Spirit. So Mark chapter 1 verse 11, if you're a woman, listen, you are my beloved daughter. Because again, what happened when Jesus got baptized is when we get baptized, we get adopted by God. And so just as what happened to Jesus happens to us. That's a great theological principle. That's where it all begins. Then we grow and we say our rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet, whatever. But the biggest thing is to pray. But that would be, if you're asking me, that's where you need to go first.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next up is Renee in Kerrville, Texas, a first-time caller listening on Guadalupe Radio. Renee, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Renee.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can. What's up?
Okay. Well, my question was, is there a way to get to heaven without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And the reason I'm calling is because I heard one of the previous questions, and I believe y'all had spoken with the lady and told her that God will, you know, look at your heart and said something about Gandhi. That he never, you know, accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Okay.
Yes.
And my question is, can you get there without accepting Christ? Because I know in the scripture it says the only way to get to heaven is, you know, confessing the Lord as your personal Savior.
Where does it say that? Let's go back. Where does it say it? Show me the scripture.
Okay. Well, I'm driving down the road. I can't.
Well, there is no place where it says that. I'm telling you. What it says is to go to heaven, you have to receive, it's John chapter 3, verse 5. And it says you can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And then Nicodemus explicitly says, what does it mean to be born again? And he says you must be born of water and the Spirit. And that's baptism, and that's what the church has always taught from the very beginning. When people say you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's a later tradition. There is no way to be saved without Jesus Christ. It cannot happen. But what is it? So if a person is, let's say a baby's born, and they never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior because they were born and miscarried, does that child get to go to heaven? Which they never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Or someone who's never heard of Jesus Christ, they're in the middle of Africa. They can't be saved without Jesus Christ. It's impossible for anyone to be saved without Jesus Christ. But you can do that in various ways, is what we would teach in the Catholic Church.
Okay. When you said Nicodemus, didn't he say, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's later in Acts. That's in the Acts of the Apostles.
Okay.
And that was from Peter. Yes, but I'm talking about what...
Believe in the Lord.
He said, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what it says in the Acts of the Apostles to Peter. But I'm talking about what Jesus Christ said to someone who asked him explicitly, what's it mean to be born again?
Okay, so I'm just making sure that they had the authority of Jesus to go.
Well, sure, but if you go to Matthew 25, the only place where Jesus says who goes to heaven and who goes to hell is, I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. And nowhere does it talk about faith there. And it's the only place Jesus Christ explicitly said who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. So what we do is we don't pick and choose Scripture. We take all of Scripture and we take about the reality that there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. It can't happen. But how does someone get into Jesus Christ? That's where the argument would be. Do you explicitly have to do that? Say that explicitly? Because again, even in the Acts of the Apostles, it says them and their household are saved. So people came over and were brought into the church as babies without accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So again, we got to put all these things together and not just, well, this scripture passage says this. Well, what about this scripture passage? What about James that says, you know, it's not just faith, that you need faith and works. What about that? And then we take all these things together. But we all agree that we need Jesus to be saved, 100%.
833-288-EWTN. Still time for your calls at 833-288-3986. Next stop, Omaha, Nebraska. Chrissy is in Omaha listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Chrissy, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Chrissy.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
I'm here. What's up?
Praising the good Lord is what I'm doing.
What's going on, Chrissy? What's your question?
I'll tell you, I'm trying to ask what would be probably one of the more, I'm trying to find another word than popular. I don't know for sure.
The most popular devotion? The most popular devotion and to pray in the church? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
It would be the rosary. The rosary by far is the most popular. And I think, you know, I would imagine everybody, it's amazing. You ever see a Catholic, no matter where they are in the world, usually Catholics are buried with a rosary in their hand. You know, so I would say that the most popular devotion would be the rosary.
Thanks, Chrissy. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. That's the number Grace used in Danbury, Connecticut. Listening on Sirius XM Channel 130, a first-time caller, Grace, welcome to the program.
Hello, Grace.
Thank you so much. Hello.
Thank you.
I'm
what's
really
up?
Excited. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a son who is going into kindergarten.
Yeah.
And our plan was to send him to our local Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And the school we were going to send him to has closed as of this year.
No joy.
And so from a practical standpoint, the next best thing to get a more biblical-focused, you know, worldview, you know, in with his education is a local Christian school by us. And I was wondering if there's any sort of conflict in doing that. And our intent is to still enroll him in our local churches, like CCD, religious programming. I just didn't know if there was a conflict there.
There could be. I mean, I know a lot of people that have sent people to Christian schools, and they learn the scripture and everything else, but then they learn, like I was just talking with the last gentleman, is that, you know, the only way to be saved is accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and all those kind of things. So they're going to be taught a theology that's different than our theology. So the primary teacher of the faith is the parent. So that's your job to make sure that they always know why we believe what we believe, and the scriptural reasons for that. Because if not, they're going to be, you know, I'm not going to say, brainwashed, but it's going to be pretty close to being brainwashed, because they're going to be formed. These young brains are going to be formed in what's it mean to be a Christian instead of, and being Catholic is being a Christian. But some Protestants would say, no, Catholics aren't Christians. So it depends what kind of Protestant school. Is it a fundamentalist one? Is it a Lutheran one? You know, is it mainline? So again, you just got to watch. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, our intent is not for him to be there long term. When he
sure.
gets a little older, we want to put him in a Catholic
sure.
school that's, you know, a little bit further away. But while he's young, maybe
sure.
1 or 2 years, I just want to be.
And
aware
again, they're probably going
to
teach him scripture and that, and that's fine as long as they don't get into this theology about sacraments and everything else that you don't need them. That would be my only concern.
Okay, all right. So I'll keep an eye on that. I mean, they're
good
a born again Christian. It sounds
sure.
like.
But you got to make
okay.
sure
thank
you're
so
teaching
much.
Them the scriptures. Absolutely. God bless you.
833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Mary Ann is in San Antonio, Texas, watching us on YouTube. Mary Ann, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mary Ann.
Hello, Father Larry. How are you?
I am blessed. One of my favorite places in the nation is San Antonio.
Oh, well, mine too. I've been here for 62 years, all my
bless
life.
God, there
Father,
you go.
Father, Yeah, I've watched you since I was. I love you. Now,
oh, thank you.
I have a problem. Well, I don't know if it's a problem, but you're wonderful.
Okay.
And I love your face. It's so beautiful. Father Larry, my sister's head of a group we call the Lay Apostle Group. It's Direction for Our Times.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but.
I don't think.
No, see, and one of the, her name is Anna Leah Apostle, who gets locutions from Jesus and Mary and all the saints, she's written many books. So one of the bishops, one of the bishops has approved it, but not the Pope. So I'm concerned because I go to these meetings. Thank you, Father Larry. God bless you.
Okay. Well, again, one of the biggest things is just making sure things are approved. Now, if your bishop down there approves it, but again, not everything is approved. You just got to watch, you know, because like right now, there is so much going on by these apparitions and everything else. And that's why I keep saying the only thing that saves us is Jesus, but then his magisterium of the church. So the only thing you need to be saved is the official teaching of the church, like even the best of all the apparitions, which I have great devotion to them. The church has said you don't need those to be saved. They help, they get you there, but the teaching of the church is what has always been from the very beginning, which is what is necessary for salvation. So I'd encourage you you can listen to it. If it helps you get closer to God, that's great, but make sure that it's in the teaching of the church and it's not going off about, you know, the Blessed Mother told us the world's going to end next week, because they've been saying this for 2,000 years. No one's got a corner on that one for sure, but they rock all the reasons, or they'll say the Pope is the Antichrist or he's a heretic. Anything that comes like that is always from the evil one. It's not from God, always from the evil one. Because God is in charge of this church, period.
Next up is Robert in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Robert, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Robert.
Hello. I've been listening to Sacred Heart Radio, and there's something I've heard that I'd like to ask about.
Sure.
It's that if you have unavoidable suffering, you can dedicate that to a person or to a cause, and I don't understand that at all.
Okay. Well, remember it says, St. Paul says, he fills up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Not that Christ's sufferings were lacking, but we join him on the cross. So, again, when you sit there and you have pain or anything, like if I have a headache or if I have, like today's a fast day, so when I'm getting hungry, I'm sitting there and I go, Lord, I offer up this pain for someone else who needs it. And so what happens is it's kind of like when you're praying for somebody, it's like the sun. Like right now, the sun's rays are all over. But if you take a magnifying glass, you focus those rays of the sun and you focus it on something. And when you set it on something, it can set things on fire. When we pray for people, we become spiritual magnifying glasses. And so the grace of God and his love is everywhere. And we're focusing on the person. But when we're fasting or when we're suffering, it's kind of like clearing that glass and cleaning that glass so it intensifies the grace of God on that person. All the power is from Almighty God. You are just being the instrument, the magnifying glass of the power of God to the individual. So I always say never waste any suffering. Always offer it up for somebody else. And now you become a victim soul or you become a redeemer with Jesus. Jesus is redeeming, but he's using you to bring someone to them. Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Very quickly, we'll head to Gloria in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. First-time caller watching on YouTube. Just about a minute and a half left. Gloria, what's your question?
Oh, hi, Father.
Hello,
I just
Gloria.
Wanted to know, hi, if you have not been baptized, can you be saved?
Well, yes, according to the Vatican II, that if you don't do it through no fault of your own, but the main way, you know, like again, the main way to be forgiven is to go to confession. But if you're driving along and you get in a car accident and you say, God, I'm sorry, God can still take care of you and forgive you. The church teaching is always the three ways of baptism is the baptism of water, the baptism of desire, and the baptism of blood. So if a person isn't baptized, but they want to be baptized, they would still be baptized, quote, unquote. But again, Vatican II, which is official teaching of the church, says that if someone, even an atheist, through no fault of their own is that way, they do have hope of salvation.
God bless you, Gloria. We appreciate that phone call today. Father Larry, would you leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. God of love and mercy, we ask you to bless everyone and give them your peace and help them to know always the fullness of truth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow, our very own Vice President of Theology, Colin Donovan, is in the house. Until then, God bless.